Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right.
Hello, the internet, and welcome to this episode of Object Trend, Your Honor. Put me in Star Wars. that is. Yeah.
Oh, man.
I'm Jack. That's Miles.
Put me in Star Wars.
on the grounds of put me in Star Wars, I object. Yeah. And these are some of the things that are trending. Lucasfilm is trending because Gina Carano. I always want to add a nana. Gina Carano, no. But it's Gina Carano.
Carinano.
Suing Disney and Lucasfilm for discrimination and wrongful termination. She is seeking a court order that would force Lucasfilm to put her back in The Mandalorian.
That is the... Oh, man. The thing about this, too, is Elon Musk is like footing the legal bill too.
Oh, cool.
Because, you know, he's like, anybody who has been like canceled here, like I will represent you in court or whatever. So Gina Carano's like, I'm going to take you up on that. And did this like really long wordy thing talking about like kind of fucking all kinds of conspiratorial racist shit she posted. She was saying like, the thing is, I never use aggressive language. I shared thought provoking quotes, pictures, and memes.
Right.
Yeah. Thought provoking. It provokes the thought that I may be vile.
Bro, sorry my shit is so thought provoking, okay?
Yeah, dude. Just the most based fucking thought provoking shit posts you've ever fucking seen. Sorry. But again, I'm like, it is a little odd when you're like, the damages that I have experienced or that have been done to me and the restitution that I seek is to have a court order that will recast me, that will force Lucasfilm to recast her.
Could really open a whole can of worms because, you know, a lot of casting decisions I feel like would be under appeal immediately if a court established the precedent that
they could get you a gig.
Be sued into getting the starring role in a major Hollywood production.
Like, how do you even, well, whatever. Good luck to you, and just maybe leave us alone for a while.
That's cool to hear about Elon Musk, though. I wonder, how is he, you know, helping out a lot of like underrepresented minority groups?
Oh yeah, man. Gina Carano, that other white guy, the one racist fool. Yeah,
Louis C.K.
Yeah, Louis C.K. Shane Gillis, just everybody. Yeah.
No immunity.
Yeah.
Is trending because an appeals court has ruled that Trump has no immunity.
Fucking
bullshit.
You sure about that? I'd said that everything I do as president has to be protected. Otherwise, then any president can be brought up on charges for committing crimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
But anyway, we talk more about that in tomorrow's episode. The one thing I will just add to that is if, and that is the biggest if of them all, bigger than Ify Wadiway, is if SCOTUS did the right thing and declined to hear an appeal to the, like, you know, Trump's appeal, we could have a potential spring trial start date in the January 6th case.
The January 6th case is the Jack Smith one, right?
The Jack Smith's getting your
Jack
ass.
Smith's yeah. That's coming for your ass.
That's the heavier of the two. The other one being the Mar-a-Lago documents tiff. But yeah, this if that one gets an early start date, who knows? But again, don't put your eggs in that basket because no one's, not even a court is going to save us from whatever this guy's trying to bring.
Whatever's coming. All right. Chris Pratt is trending because, you know, after enraging the internet by taking gigs playing Super Mario and Garfield, he is playing the Pringles guy in a Super Bowl commercial. Or rather, he's playing himself, but with a giant mustache for some reason, which then leads to him being cast in a movie about the Pringles guy. Mm. So it's sort of playing up the idea of like Chris Pratt gets cast as everyone all
right,
the time.
Which, because everyone loves that. Everyone right. loves that. Like that's not the kind of attention a lot of these projects are getting, but I like the little finer details about this, like ad about how some eagle eyed people spotted that there's like this Julius Pringles name, like as part of the lore. I had no idea this was like some contested slash not real thing, that there's no character named
so
Julius.
At the end, so it starts out, he walks into a store, buys a can of Pringles, has a big like you know, Archduke Ferdinand mustache, and someone's like, oh my god, you look like the Pringles guy. Takes a picture of him, and then like cut to, like it goes viral, and then there's a billboard that says Chris Pratt is Mr. P. But you zoom in on the movie's credits at the bottom, and you can clearly see the name Julius Pringles, which...
The man who started Pringles, right?
Right. So, in 2022, Kellogg's claimed in an official document that their mustachioed Pringles logo is one of their trademark characters, like Tony the Tiger or Toucan Sam, and called either Mr. P or Julius Pringles. But Julius Pringles is... So somebody looked it up. Julius Pringles, not a trademarked character. And in fact, Julius Pringles is a hoax. Two college students fucked around and added the name to the Pringles Wikipedia page in 2006.
Hell
and it
yeah.
just like started showing up in official Pringles promotional materials.
I love how a company knows their brand so well. They're like, oh, was this on our Wikipedia?
Right. Exactly.
Yeah, that's JP. It's Julius Pingies. What the fuck are we doing? Wow, the power of Wikipedia. I mean, this is like when I look at that year, I'm like, I was in college in 2006, and that was the exact shit we would do, is alter Wikipedia pages and email each other links to be like, dude, I didn't realize that like you were Gavrilo Princip's brother and you were actually an accessory to the assassination of the Archduke Franz Ferdinand, or saying like people would have the highest selling album of all time. Like you could get away for like hours of that kind of stuff, but credit to these two.
Yeah, they did it because Julius Peppers was a famous football player at the time, and they just changed it to Julius Pringles. Yeah, North Carolina, both basketball and football player.
Yeah.
Went into the NFL, very good player, and they were like, Julius Pringles, which...
dude, that is so fucking such a time machine. I'm like, Julius Peppers from North Carolina, the two-sport god?
The fact that it is pluralized, that it's Julius Pringles... does really make it work for me. There is a tweet exchange where Pringles is like, that's funny, Julius did too. And Michael A. Wiseman responds, you know that my friend and I made up the name Julius Pringles when we were in college, right? no reply yet from Pringles. But
yeah,
remains to be seen whether the name's inclusion in this commercial is a nod to the hoax, or if some ad agency intern just like was Googling, went on Wikipedia.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
Wow. Now I gotta like
Do you think it's still up, or they're like humiliated that they're like, call the fucking guy at Wikipedia and get that shit taken down yesterday.
Call our Wikipedia guy.
Let's see. Julius, does it show up? Julius Pringles. There's a whole section under it still.
Yeah, but presumably telling the story or no?
So the first one is talking about how like it is a depiction or Mr. P designed by Lewis Dixon, like the actual history behind it. And then it said the mascot's name originated with a Wikipedia hoax. 2006, an editor, the then hoax Julius put the then hoax Julius into the Pringles articles, which was subsequently picked up by other news outlets. And this is how misinformation becomes gospel truth.
Mm. Julius is a great name, by the way. Orange Julius, yeah. Julius the Dr. Irving.
Yeah. Orange, dude, Orange Julius. Ah, fucking miss Orange Julius.
Yeah.
Do they Jules still have? From, there's still a couple around, aren't there?
Yeah.
I feel like there's like Orange four Julius.
I feel like they're like spotted every once in a while, like Bigfoot, you know?
Yeah.
You that can never tell if it's a things. Real. Yeah.
One of the few like sweet garbage foods my mom was also like would let me get at the mall because she was like, yo, this fucked with Julius. Yeah. Dude, it fucked. She was like, this fuck, what the fuck? It's Orange Julius.
I've never had Orange Julius. So what is Orange Julius? What does it taste like?
Like a creamsicle, kind of.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's like a melted creamsicle. Basically.
Yeah.
Okay. It's not like actual orange juice, presumably.
It's no, I mean, it has, it's it like, has yeah. milk and it's like, milk and orange juice kind of vibes down there. Yeah.
I just know it from the SNL sketch with Sylvester Stallone.
What
from
is
the Copland era. I think that's why he was coming on SNL that time.
Oh, yep. Makes sense.
All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in L.A. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent, telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and I'm back for another season of my podcast, Climbing in Heels. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist. And guess what? I'm still just as fully obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. My podcast, Climbing in Heels, is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season, we're taking things up a notch. I'll be talking to some incredible women across so many industries, from models and beauty industry stars to doctors, entrepreneurs, and TV personalities. Climbing in Heels is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Every week, listeners will be able to ask me any questions. I'm answering it all. My life is absolutely crazy with so much going on, and I'm so beyond excited to bring you along for the ride. Whether we're talking red carpet looks, current trends, or products I'm obsessed with, I'm here to be your fashion fairy godmother. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. And the country singer Toby Keith just died at the age of 62 following a battle with stomach cancer. For some of us, this news meant quickly Googling to check to see if Toby Keith is the guy Nicole Kidman is married to. That is Keith Urban. So,
Keith Urban.
Different.
He's the Keith. Guy who did the Lynch songs.
He is the Lynch song guy, Toby Keith.
Yeah.
So, you know, in addition to the outpouring of love from some fans of Bad Music, social media also was pointing out he was kind of a racist warmonger who was mostly bad. I definitely remember him from the, you know, Iraq War era when the Dixie Chicks, or now the Chicks. At the time, Dixie Chicks pointed out that it was an unjust war. And he, like, you know, used them as a punching bag, and they were like excommunicated from the country community and started like receiving death threats.
I mean, you know, that his one pro lynching song, Beer for My Horses. I mean, yeah, you know,
that's like, that's the big one.
That is wild that people who like were in the audience when he performed it on Colbert are like, yay, not listening to the lyrics that our grandpappy told my pappy back in the day, son, a man had to answer for the wicked that he'd done. Take all the rope in Texas. I'd be like, I'm out.
Yep. Yeah.
Find a tall oak tree. Don't need to go any further. That's okay. Understand you're going to round up all them bad boys.
Boys.
Are you talking about Martin Lawrence and Will Smith? and hang them high in the street for all the people to see. Wow. Anyway.
Yeah. Interesting.
I was watching the local news. Everyone is so desperate to somehow like tie everything to Taylor Swift, and this may be true or not, but they're like, you know, Toby Keith was actually instrumental in Taylor Swift having a career too. Why? And they're like, I'm sure we'll hear something from Taylor Swift. I don't know, just because that was the scene she started out in first, you know?
Yeah.
So I don't know what that was, but it's just so weird. Like, as an aside, they just put that in, like, this person who's like, I'm sure we'll hear from her about that soon. Like, okay, maybe you will. I don't know. Maybe you won't. Maybe
Toby Keith's name begins with a T, much like Taylor Swift's. More on that at 11. And now, being a part of that same trend, there is a Taylor Swift story. Because she had to send a cease and desist to a student who's tracking her private jet, says she's in a constant state of fear. This seems to be pretty standard for famous people to send this student who tracks various famous people's private jets, cease and desists. I will say, for all the reasons we've discussed about her being like the closest thing we've got to a living religious icon, I feel like she should be allowed to not be followed. Like, I don't know that I constantly have that thought.
Are you doing like the thing
when someone is that famous?
When people cape for billionaires because they're like, I might be a billionaire, and you're like, I mean, you know, eventually with my jet, I don't want people tracking my.
So partially, it's like I just feel like she is like in many ways too culturally central, and like there is like a weird spiritual aspect to it that seems to confuse anger and, you know, just draw a lot of devotion. So partially worried about her safety, partially, yeah, I think I could one day be as famous as Taylor Swift. I'm not ruling it out. I'm not saying it's definitely going to happen.
The thing you said before we went live with your chest out. Say, I could be bigger than Taylor Swift. Just watch me.
One day. I'm just saying it's theoretically possible, and I'm
going to make
very...
it happen.
Your mom said I'm getting good as a singer. And so I'm just saying...
It set off the fucking... Like, the... Now I have the imagination for something bigger, dude.
Oh my God. Ever since, so I saw Miles's family, as we talked about earlier in the week, I got to hang with the fam at, the Geistchild's 1 year birthday party. And, Miles's mom complimented my singing, said that I
at the top of the show,
am becoming a better singer. And, you know, I took it very graciously in person. But at my house with my family, I have become such a diva. Holy shit.
Just walking around in gowns and stuff. And you're like, I can't be bothered right now. I'm warming up my vocal cords. Me, me, ma, me, me.
Really, it's all a vocal warm up for the AKA performances.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, that's what the show recording is, just a vocal warm up for the AKA performances. Because one day I do plan to be bigger than Taylor Swift, okay?
Yeah, I said it.
And Taylor, my privacy, security needs to be protected.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't know how you can have a reasonable expectation of privacy. I mean, obviously you can because you're so famous, but like when you're also like moving in, like not, you know, it's a fucking jet. It's not like you're like leaving in like three different fucking Suburbans, like going different directions. You're like, which one is she in? Yeah. It's like, there's a jet. But I mean, this mostly, I think the fear argument is being used because it's become a thing that a lot of people are like being like, can you be a little more carbon conscious with the jets and stuff? Because like, you know, Elon Musk tried to do it, but I think failed. That kid is it the same kid who tracks Elon Musk's jet?
I have to think it's the same kid, but,
It's all just one kid, you know, these days. It's all happening. Like, because do you remember that one? There's like this kid in California who was like a prolific swatter, like the person who was swatting a ton of people.
And it was
a lot of them were coming from like this one kid.
Yeah.
So
world's most prolific swatter. I saw him in the 2024 Guinness Book of World Records. all right. And finally, this is a story that we have mentioned in the past, but is just getting more and more coverage, and now is being covered by The Guardian. I think the last time we brought it up, it was being covered by The Intercept.
Yeah.
So it's been pretty obvious the whole time that CNN's pro-Israel coverage is rooted in some kind of like explicit corporate dictum.
Right.
Like last year when Anderson Cooper referenced the huge civilian loss of life, and then quickly corrected himself to say loss of life.
Yeah, not civilian, and not.
It was weird
the way he corrected himself. Like it did feel like, that's right, we got the email that's supposed to say don't talk about civilians or be very specific when you talk about who is claiming the number of people that have perished in Gaza. It's like according to the Hamas-controlled health ministry, which. Later, we've found out that even the Israeli government was taking seriously and being like using those numbers in their own.
The Israeli military is using those numbers. The Israeli intelligence department is using those numbers. So those numbers, true.
Yeah.
But The Guardian has reported that a lot of CNN staffers are themselves really pissed at the network's editorial policies, accusing them of an institutional bias that amounts to journalistic malpractice.
Yeah.
These are CNN employees saying this.
Yeah. And I think when we first talked about it, a lot of it was about this thing that a lot of the reporting had to go through the Jerusalem Bureau before being reported out in the U.S. And a lot of people point like that they're the new head of CNN who came from the BBC also had their own like history of like sort of, you know, accommodating the Israeli government when it came to like how things were reported. But this is apparently like, this has been going on for a long, like this is like a quote, long-standing policy. So that essentially where they say, well, we want to ensure accuracy, that many of the people that work at CNN are like, it basically goes through this process where these stories are being, quote, shaped by journalists who are legally obliged to work within the purview of the IDF.
Yeah. And so like, everything that CNN says about the story is going through the IDF in one way or another.
Or just, or people understand that there's a...
Yeah.
Clearly a specific way to speak about this
being shaped by,
which is interesting because that's a thing that foreign reporters have to sort of, they sign this document when that says, quote, agreeing to abide by the dictates of the censor. But we also know too that in Israel, like, it's their own media that has probably had the most, like truly, like, passionate opposition to what the government is doing. So it's, like, interesting how you can, like, how it's, like, well, if you come here from abroad, you better do it this way. And the people that live here, okay, they can, you know, they have free speech, I guess, or can report on it however they see fit. But
yeah. But we're getting worse information than people in Israel are getting.
And, right. Depending on where you get your news, because I think what you hear too there is that the local news is only focused on one side of what's happening, does not really mention casualties to civilians. And
So as we mentioned, just like substantively, some of the things that you'll hear on CNN is anytime death toll is reported, they would say casualty statistics are coming from Hamas-controlled Ministry of Health. There's also reporting any bombings in Gaza have to be described as, quote, blasts that are attributed to nobody until the Israeli military weighs in. Like, those are direct quotes. Blasts attributed to nobody until the Israeli military weighs in. And then waving through any statements by the Israeli government while heavily scrutinizing anything released by the Palestinian government.
And then even, like, you have seasoned journalists who have, like, actually been working on reporting in the region for, like, their whole lot, you know, decades. That's what they do professionally. That, like, it's freezing those people out to the point, like, they don't even want to engage with the network. So morale is pretty low there. And again, I think this is just like anything. Like, apparently the ratings at CNN and Fox News have gone up since everything, like, since the attacks on October 7th. And, like, MSNBC viewership has gone down, which is interesting because I feel like Mehdi Hassan, who used to be on MSNBC, was speaking pretty, like, you know, objectively about what was happening. And even Ali Velshi did. And then, like, that seemed to cause some issues. And yeah, I mean, I think these outlets largely just provide, like, a narrative to people that help the viewers feel completely disconnected to, like, the tragedy that's unfolding.
Yeah.
And certainly, like, shield their viewers from any notion that their own tax dollars or the United States government are, like, the fucking fuel that allows this machine to keep going.
Yeah. And it's a hard truth to hear. It's, like, a real breaking point, I think, for a lot of people. And so the counter narrative that CNN is providing seems like it's more popular and helps people just kind of stay cocooned in, you know?
Yeah. There. I mean, that's just how it was too. Like, even, you know, I'm like in high school, college, early college days for me with the Iraq war, it was just so obscure. And you're like, look how badass these dudes blew this fucking little town up.
Right.
And, like, that was it. You were so disconnected from the humanity of it all. And you're just, it's like they have a playbook for this kind of stuff in our Western media.
Yeah. And the Iraq war was very, very similarly, like, kind of treated the way this one is being treated at the time. And then, you know, in retrospect, now we learn that all the people who were pumping the brakes and, you know, objecting had the facts on their side. So.
Yeah. And, well, then also too, like, the Islamophobia, that's like that Wall Street Journal piece that said, like, Dearborn, Michigan is, like, the new, like, hub of jihad in America.
Yeah. Yeah.
Whoa.
All right. Well, those are some of the things that are trending on this Tuesday, February 6th. We are back tomorrow with a whole ass episode of the show. Mm-hmm. Until then, be kind to each other. Be kind to yourselves. Yes. Get the vaccine.
Yes.
Don't do nothing about white supremacy. No. And we will talk to y'all tomorrow. Bye.
Bye.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, hi, I'm Rachel Zoe, and my podcast, Climbing in Heels, is back and better than ever. You might know me from the Rachel Zoe Project, or perhaps from my work as a celebrity stylist.
And guess what? I'm still just as obsessed with all things fashion, beauty, and business. Climbing in Heels is all about celebrating the stories of extraordinary women, and this season is here to bring you a weekly dose of glamour, inspiration, and fun. Listen to Climbing in Heels every Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.